What's up, NBA fans? Welcome to another episode of the NBA Outlet Preview Series, presented by OTGBasketball.com. Make sure to follow OTG on Twitter, at OTGBasketball. Also, hit that subscribe button. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me today, OTG's Corey Waldron and Jonathan Ibrahim. What's up, fellas?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on once again. We're a couple months away from the NBA season, but there's still plenty to talk about.
And it was a nice sunny day, so it's perfect that we talk about the Suns today.
Yeah, Corey's got it right on the head. You know, team number 24, the Phoenix Suns. Before we talk about their ranking, let's talk about the Suns from last season. Obviously, another year without the playoffs, but we saw some bright spots in the young players. What are you guys' thoughts about the Suns from last year?
Like you said, Nick, they've got a bright future. Pretty bad record overall. I think they were last in the Western Conference, but a lot of good young players. Allen Williams, Marquise Chris. I guess Josh Jackson will be joining them this year. Dragan Bender. They got a lot of really good players, and it's going to be exciting to see how those guys grow together and see if they can challenge for a playoff position this year.
You know, it's funny because like, it seems like every year the Phoenix Suns are – I mean, last year was one of the worst years. But even still, even though they finished 24 and, you know, whatever losses, they were a top 10 offense in the league, which I always find odd when you see a team struggle that much and they're still somehow a top 10 offense. It just shows how many points they've given up a game. But like you just said, John, we saw a lot of the young talent have a big impact. I mean, we saw Devin Booker drop 70 points in a game. We saw Eric Bledsoe when he was on the floor. I think he had one or two game winners last year. I mean, it's a very young team, and we saw them take, you know, some steps forward, but it's a work in progress.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something to look forward to if you're a Phoenix fan. There's a young core there. Obviously, Devin Booker is a highlight, but like Jonathan mentioned, guys like Allen Williams, Dragan Bender, you know, Josh Jackson this year, Tyler Ulis. There are some guys to really like on this team, and if you're a Suns fan, you can be excited. And you don't necessarily look at the win and loss column. You just want to see these guys get better, and I think they did get better after the All-Star break. They shut down Eric Bledsoe, Brandon Knight, Tyson Chandler, and then their last 19 games, they went 3-16. Do you think that's something that can impact the team going to next season, or it's not a big deal just because they're playing all the young guys?
Yeah, it's not a big deal. It's kind of expected when you have such a young roster. I couldn't tell you what their average age is, but it's got to be pretty low. And it wasn't just the young roster. It was the number of injuries they had. I mean, Tyler Ulis was playing heavy minutes towards the end of the season because both Brandon Knight and Eric Bledsoe were down at the point guard position. So, you kind of have to look at it in context and look at the young guys that they were playing, the injuries that they had. So I think going forward, they're going to be okay. They're going to be better than what they showed last season.
Yeah, and actually, I'm just looking at the roster right now. They only have two guys above the age of 30, and that's Tyson Chandler and Jared Dudley. Everybody else is under 30. So it's definitely a young core. And, you know, going 3-16, I mean, when you shut down your point guard, you know, when you shut down players, I mean, they kind of went full tank mode. You know, you don't really let that, you know, it doesn't carry on over because you've got Josh Jackson, and that's what it was all for.
What would you guys say was the highlight of the Phoenix Suns season?
I think, again, it's just the young players. Devin Booker dropping 70 points towards the end of the season. Marquise Chris looked like a young Chris Bosh at times. I think that's where the focus has got to be. They looked really good, and I think if you're talking about highlights from a 24-win season, I guess young talent's really the only thing you can kind of point to.
Yeah, this is a pretty easy answer. For me, like, the highlight is just Devin Booker in general. I mean, we saw him raise his three-point percentage to 36%. We saw him average his points per game from 13 to 22. We just saw, you know, I mean, we got to remember this kid came to the league as 19 years old, and he's only 20 years old, going to be 21 next year. And the kid can't even drink yet, which always blows my mind. Up for times last year and seeing, you know, like John just said, these young guys develop has got to be the highlight if you're a Suns fan.
Yeah, obviously Devin Booker is the easy one to point out with a 70-point game, and obviously you see the star potential in him, just the ability to shoot the ball and score points in bunches. Obviously got some help in that Celtics loss, but, you know, it's still a big game from him. But I also like what I see from the guys that, you know, don't necessarily catch the hype, and Jonathan mentioned them earlier, you know, an Allen Williams, a Tyler Ulis. These guys showed some impact, and you do need role players in the NBA, and I think that's a role that these two could probably fill in.
And can I say one thing about the 70-point game? Like, it wasn't really a true 70-point game because, like, the end of that game was really, like, untraditional by the fact they kept fouling when they were down by 20 just to get Booker to the line.
Well, that's what they did. That's what they did in Wilt's 100-point game.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, yeah. That's one thing. They don't have video footage of that game, but that was one of the things that they were talking about, is that towards the end of the game, just to get him to 100 points, they would hack and try and get the they would hack the team, try and get the ball back as quickly as possible so that they could dump it down to Wilt again.
All right, so it's been happening for years and years and years.
At least it gave the Suns fans something to be happy about. You know, we rarely see someone drop 70 in a game.
I mean, the last time I saw somebody drop that many points was Kobe with 81.
But enough about the positive things. What would be the disappointment of the Suns season last year?
I think the biggest disappointment has got to be Dragan Bender's season. I know he wasn't expected to come in and completely change the franchise, but I think he was expected to come in and do a little bit more than provide 3 points and 2 rebounds a game, especially coming with the fourth pick. I understand he's only 19. I understand he's still developing and he's a long-term project, but I think the fact that he missed half the season and when he did play, he really was a liability. I think that's going to be a concern for their head office. So, I mean, I'm sure they would have liked to see a little bit more promise from him, but, I mean, they got to just kind of let him play it out. Let him have a chance to play a full season and see if he improves a little bit.
For me, the disappointment is going to be Alex Len. He started off the season last year pretty hot. I mean, I know, like, for FanDuel, I was using him pretty often. And then near the back end of the season, he just wasn't getting minutes. He offensively, his field goal percentage dropped from the beginning. He only shot under 50% for the season. And he's another guy who was going into a contract year in free agency as a restricted free agent, and he hasn't gotten any offers or any looks. And I think it was his play near the end of the stretch. You know, with Tyson Chandler being 34 years old, they're still trying to find, like, the next center after him. And Alex Len kind of had the chance, and he kind of let it falter near the end last year.
Yeah, I feel like Alex Len has just been, like, a disappointment in Phoenix. Every year they're kind of expecting him to make that jump, and he shows some flashes, but he never can consistently push through. But I'll agree with Jonathan on this because I thought Dragan Bender, you know, he missed so much time, and that hurts a player like him because he needs all the time he can get to develop. And you want to see what you have in him and, you know, how you can move forward this player. And, you know, only playing, I think, 43 games, it's not really enough, and it really, you know, sets him a year back pretty much. But moving on to the ranking for the Suns, number 24, what do you guys think about this ranking? Too high, too low, or fair ranking?
I think 24 is fair. They're still a young, developing team. They're not going to make any big jumps in the standings. I kind of think that they're looking at about 35 wins this year. So, yeah, 24 sounds about right, give or take a couple of spots. But I don't think there's going to be any significant change with the Suns.
For me, I think they're slightly too high. It's kind of hard for me to give a team that won 24 games, you know, a better spot than, you know, the teams that we just talked about prior, you know, the Knicks, the Pacers. But, you know, if they stay healthy and the young guys develop, then this is a pretty fair rating.
Yeah, I could see them maybe being slightly lower, only just because I believe that they'll probably make moves at the deadline. Jonathan and I talked about this off the pod, you know, maybe move Eric Bledsoe and just kind of go in tank mode because it only makes sense for them to gather another asset. I don't think getting in the playoffs would mean much to them anyways. So it would kind of make sense, move some of the veterans, give the young guys more minutes, grab another high pick, and then you're set for the future.
When you're rebuilding, that's the best route to take.
But let's talk additions. You know, the Suns didn't really sign anybody this year, but they had a solid draft. Obviously, number 4 pick, Josh Jackson, that's somebody we mentioned before. What are your thoughts on him? What do you see in him? And maybe what's an NBA comparison for Josh Jackson?
Okay, I'm going to sound a little bit crazy, but I genuinely think that Josh Jackson's ceiling is a Kawhi Leonard type of player. I think he's elite on the defensive side. I think what he brings in terms of energy is amazing. He's still young. He looked great in Kansas. In terms of kind of rounding out the offensive side, I mean, that's what we saw when Kawhi came into the league as well. He kind of had to hone in on those offensive talents. But with the right coaching and the right development plan, I think Josh Jackson can get somewhere close. Obviously, Kawhi Leonard's status would be the absolute ceiling, but I think he can get somewhere close to that. You know, start off as a defensive stopper, but he certainly has the athleticism and the talent to take his offensive side to the next level.
Yeah, that's a really good comparison, John. I was kind of thinking more of like an Andrew Wiggins, minus the fact that he can actually play defense. Like, Josh Jackson looks to me as like a more complete Andrew Wiggins coming out of college. Like you said, he's athletic, he's long. Obviously, shooting, he'll have to develop slightly better, but he can run the floor. And, I mean, athletically, this guy's probably one of the top 10 athletes in this draft easily.
Yeah, and going into the college basketball season, you know, he was regarded as possibly the number one player. He had some off-court stuff, but got that all figured out. And, you know, there was some talk about him possibly going at number one. It looks like the Suns have a really good player here, and it's a good fit with what they're trying to do moving forward. But talking about the second-round picks they had, they also drafted Devon Reed and Alec Peters. Do either of these guys stick out to you? Do you think they'll pick up some minutes or, you know, maybe G League?
I think for both guys, they're looking at the G League this year. It with the amount of young talent that's already on the roster, I think the plan is going to be develop the guys that are already on the first team and then bring in the younger guys as they move those veteran players. So once they move guys like Eric Bledsoe, Brandon Knight, Tyson Chandler, Jared Dudley, which I'm assuming is their plan long-term, although I'm not sure about Tyson Chandler because apparently he's really good in their locker room. But as they move the kind of the older players out and develop the young guys that they have on the roster right now, then they're going to bring in those young guys, those second-round picks to kind of plug some holes and kind of find the next big role player type of deal.
Yeah, I mean, out of these two guys, I definitely like Devon Reed. The few times I actually got to watch college basketball last year, I actually got a chance to watch Miami. You know, he's 6'6", so he's your prototypical shooting guard. Wingspan, he's got a 7-foot wingspan. He shoots the three ball pretty well, which is something that the Suns lacked last year. They were in the bottom five for three-point percentage. So they're obviously a team that's still looking for three-point shooting. And besides having Devin Booker, this team doesn't really have those long, deep threat guys yet. So, you know, developing these guys in the G League is obviously where they're probably going to start. And hopefully somebody can develop and come off the bench strong, like John just said.
And like I mentioned before, no big free agent signings. They did re-sign Allen Williams. But let's talk about Alex Len. You know, he's still a restricted free agent right now. There's been some talk about him signing a qualifying offer. What do you think will happen with Alex Len? Do you think he'll end up signing that deal? Or what's the next move for Len in the Suns?
I think Len's on his way out. He's just had too many chances in his first four seasons to actually show some promise. And it, I mean, like you said, Nick, he has flashes of potential here and there. I mean, he's a decent finisher around the rim. He's a decent shot blocker, but I think with the talent they have on the team right now, and I think Allen Williams and Marquese Chris are going to be their bigs going forward. I think that would be the plan. But the way they played last year, in the short amount of time that they saw on the court time, I think those guys are going to be their priority. And you know, there's really no point in overpaying a guy that they're really not planning on playing a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Alex Len is hoping that somebody sends him any kind of offer. I don't think it's completely time to throw away the towel on Alex Len. I mean, we're still talking about a kid who's only 24 years old. I mean, there's still some kind of upside. I'm sure some team can use him to some kind of degree off the bench. But I have a good feeling about him staying in Phoenix. I just don't see him getting any trash from anywhere else. And I don't know why they would renounce the qualifying offer.
Yeah, I mean, he could end up just signing the deal and then going to unrestricted free agency next year. It's tough to see. It'd be possible the Suns want to even give him minutes, like Jonathan mentioned. So we'll see what happens with that situation. Obviously, if you're still a free agent at this time in the offseason, it's not usually a good sign. But like I mentioned, there wasn't really much additions. Departure-wise, they lost Leandro Barbosa and Ronnie Price. What do you think they'll miss from these two?
I mean, they'll miss some backcourt depth. Barbosa's been a great player pretty much his whole career. With those guys being a little older and both playing the point guard position, I think they're going to miss a little bit of the leadership, a little bit more of that kind of composed backcourt presence. But I don't think either departure is going to have a significant impact on what they're trying to do. Like I said, Tyler Ulis is a very promising young point guard. If they can get good minutes out of Eric Bledsoe this year, they're going to be fine.
Yeah, I got to piggyback off what John's saying. You know, obviously Barbosa, an NBA champion, right? He won with the Warriors, right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. And then Ronnie Price is another older guy. You know, with all these new guys, you're going to have to start giving them minutes. And with the way the direction is going, it only makes sense to cut some of these old guys out.
Yeah, and the positive for the Suns, too, is they have other veterans on the team, like we mentioned, Bledsoe, a Dudley, a Chandler. you know, there's still guys around that have been around the league and can give you that locker room presence. So, like you guys said, it makes sense to open the minutes for the young guys. But other than that, really not much to talk about offseason move-wise. So let's go to starters. Who are your opening night starters for the Suns?
I've got Eric Bledsoe at the point guard position, Devin Booker at the shooting guard position, TJ Warren at small forward, Marquese Chris at power forward, and Tyson Chandler at center.
You don't think Josh Jackson starts off the season as a starter?
Not over TJ Warren, no.
Interesting. All right. I mean, mine's slightly different. I have pretty much the same guys, but I have Bledsoe as point guard, Booker as shooting guard. I think Josh Jackson starts, and then I have Marquese Chris and Tyson Chandler.
And I'm going to have the same lineup as Jonathan. I think maybe Josh Jackson could start later in the year, but, you know, TJ Warren has probably been an underrated player in Phoenix just because they've been so bad, and what many people probably don't know about him. But when he's healthy, you know, he's a solid small forward to have. Josh Jackson could maybe take that role later in the year, but opening night, I think they'll go with Warren, and I think they'll go with Chandler just because they want to have, you know, a consistent starting lineup. But as the year progresses, that could change. Who are your breakout players for the Suns? Give me one starter.
Okay, as a starter, I'm going to go with Marquese Chris. I think he's got a very similar skill set to Chris Bosh when he first came into the league. I think he's actually a little bit more polished in certain areas, and I think his ability to play both power forward and center, and even, you know what, even play a little bit of small forward, I think that gives him an advantage, and I think he'll be able to take advantage of it this season.
Because now it's all screwy since I have Josh Jackson in my starting lineup. But I have Josh Jackson as my breakout player. I think he's probably going to finish in the top three, if not win Rookie of the Year. I just think this kid's upside is crazy. And when Phoenix, I think he's going to get the minutes. They're going to be able to run the floor. So Josh Jackson for me is going to be the breakout player.
A lot of people had Josh Jackson as the guy, you know, most ready to contribute in the NBA right away. But I also like, you know, the pick Jonathan made. Marquese Chris definitely showed flashes this year. It's going to be this year he needs to be more consistent. For me, I'm going to go with Devin Booker. I think obviously we saw the scoring improve last year, the shooting. I think efficiency-wise he'll try to improve, and I think he's going to try to improve his game in other aspects. You know, pick it up as a passer and pick it up as a rebounder and show some more effort defensively, because that's been the major, you know, shot at his game is his defense. So if he steps on that, you know, he's getting closer to that stardom level.
Well, we all pick different people for this. I think it's the first episode.
I was going to go with Devin Booker, but to be honest, the more I thought about it, the more I felt he kind of broke out last season. I think he gained a lot of respect to be such a young player and score game. I think that would be his breakout. So I was looking for somebody who's going to be more of a surprise. But I agree with everything you said, Nick.
What about breakout bench guy? Who do you think on the bench is going to have, you know, stick out to you?
Well, I could cheat and say Josh Jackson, but I don't think he's going to start at the beginning of the season. But like you said, Nick, I think he's going to be a starter by the end of the year. So I won't go with Josh Jackson. Well, I'll go with Alan Williams. I think his contributions when Tyson Chandler went down with the injury, I thought those were both surprising and quite impressive. He's a little undersized, but that gives him a little bit more mobility. And I think in today's NBA, that's not a bad thing. Being undersized, playing at the center position, if you can defend smaller, quicker wing players, if they switch onto you, I think that gives you an advantage. And I think I see a little bit of that with Alan Williams. So I think he's going to have a nice season next year. He got a slightly bigger opportunity last year. He made a name for himself, and I think that's going to carry forward.
Yeah, my breakout player is going to be Tyler Ulis. I mean, John even hyping him up almost the entire podcast so far. And I mean, last year, I mean, for 5'10", the guy balled out. He had a game-winning shot over Isaiah Thomas, too, I believe, at some point in the season.
Yeah, it was a nasty game winner.
Yeah, I mean, the kid can play. And I think next year, because I think he just – I mean, at the end of the season last year, I was looking at his last five games. He had 34-9, 20-6, 12-5, 20-10, 27-6. And he shot over 55% in two of those games. Like, the kid played really well to end the season. I think he really turned heads and earned, you know, that six man or, you know, a high degree of minutes at the point guard position behind Bledsoe.
Yeah, I like both guys. Like I mentioned, I thought both those guys were highlights last year. You know, you don't necessarily expect it out of those two. There's obviously more lottery picks on this team. But Alan Williams, you like what he can do at the center position. Like Jonathan mentioned, he can move around a little bit. He gives you a little bit of toughness, too. And then Tyler Ulis hitting a game winner. He showed some stuff late in the season. I'm going to go with like a risky pick. I'm going to go with Dragan Bender. You know, I think he'll have a full NBA season. He'll be able to show us a little bit more offensively. And it always seems like the second year for international players, they get a chance to adjust to the NBA speed. And I think that's always a benefit.
We definitely saw with a guy like Porzingis with the Knicks. I mean, his first to second year improvement was something.
Yeah, and I think the Suns are kind of hoping that Dragan Bender has that same type of that same type of arc as Porzingis, because they have a very similar game. I think Porzingis is a little bit more physically matured than Dragan Bender, which kind of gave him a little bit of an advantage. But you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, if it does work out, the Suns could have a nice front court moving forward with Dragan Bender and Marquese Chris and then Alan Williams as well. You know, you definitely can see the piece in this team, and you can see the core, you know, taking shape, and it's kind of exciting if you're a Suns fan.
I mean, they're getting close, like, with the young talent, how they run the floor. I mean, this is kind of reminiscent of the D'Antoni Sun team. I mean, they just push the tempo, and they keep adding all these young players who can all run the floor.
Very true. You know, a Josh Jackson, a Devin Booker, a Tyler Ulis, even Eric Bledsoe likes to run the floor. Marquese Chris can run the floor. You know, it definitely should be a fun team to watch. We'll talk about that in League Pass. But what's your best case scenario for the Suns next year win-wise?
I have them probably somewhere around 35 wins. I know that's kind of a big step up from last year, but like we talked about earlier, a lot of their young players, a lot of their rookies will have a year under their belt. We're hoping that Eric Bledsoe plays close to a full season. He probably won't play all 82 games, but we're hoping he plays most of them. So I think they're going to be a lot better than they were last year, a lot better than they showed. So I think I've got them around 35 wins.
I'm not as high, but I'm decently high. I got them at 32 to 33 wins. I think they're definitely better than they were last year, best case scenario. I mean, it depends on how guys like Bender, Ulis, and a lot of these young guys develop. But, I mean, even last year, with 24 wins, they were at the 10th, they had the 9th highest offense in the league. And for me, that says something, because if the defense can come around when these guys develop, then the offense really shouldn't drop off that much.
For me, I'd probably say best case would be maybe like low 30s. I'm probably not as high. I think the young talent's going to make a step. Like I mentioned earlier, I think they'd probably move a veteran or two, and they have really no incentive to win. So I think best case is, you know, there's two best cases. You know, they win 30-plus games in terms of wins, or best case, they win the lottery and they get the number one pick. What's worst case scenario?
I think the worst case scenario would be they didn't make any improvement at all. I don't think they're going to be worse. I think you have to take a few catastrophic injuries for them to be worse than last season. So I think worst case scenario will be probably around 24, 25 wins to have such a young roster and not see it improve, especially with kind of an up and coming head coach like Earl Watson. You know, he's got some tenure under his belt now. So you'd like to see him kind of adjust his style. Hopefully it works out and it results in a few more wins. So I think worst case scenario, they just remain static. They don't improve.
Yeah, my low is relatively close. My low is them getting like 25 to 24 wins, pretty much for the same reasons. I mean, if say Bledsoe gets hurt or Booker gets hurt or somebody doesn't develop, then this team doesn't really make any difference from last
year. Yeah, I think you guys hit it on the head. You know, probably around the same win total as last year, and that happens if there's an injury or, you know, things just don't work out and people don't make the jump that you want to see them make. And necessarily when you're looking at a young team, the wins don't matter. So it's even more about the development. If the guys don't develop, then that's definitely a worst case scenario. If the wins only go up one or two, but they look like a better team, you know, you're okay with it. What's your realistic prediction for the Suns next year?
To go on a number, probably 33 wins. If I'm being fair, somewhere between 30 and 35, probably on the lower side. So I'd say probably 32, 33 wins is likely where you're going to see the Suns.
I'm going to go with 27 to 28 wins. I think they get a couple wins better by getting Josh Jackson and just seeing some guys develop. I don't think they actually reach 30.
If they don't move the vets, they'll probably grab around 30 wins. If they do move the vets, I think they'll probably grab around like 28, 27 wins. I think that's obviously, we've mentioned this on a few podcasts. There's always those trade partners possible. Eric Bledsoe, like I've mentioned before, a guy who's getting paid, I think, 14.5 this year, 15 million next year. That's a contract you can move. Jared Dudley's, I think, getting paid around 10 million. Tyson Chandler and Brandon Knight might be a little bit harder to move, But if you guys had to say, who do you think they're going to move first, Eric Bledsoe or Jared Dudley?
I would say Jared Dudley. I don't see the appeal to moving Bledsoe unless you get a nice return. He's only 27 years old. When he's healthy, he's genuinely one of the top guards in the league. I'm not saying he's, you know, a Kyrie Irving or a Kyle Lowry or John Wall, but he's going to give you close to 20 points. He'll give you close to 5 assists, 5 rebounds. He's a good outside shooter. I think Jared Dudley's probably more realistic. He's easier to move because of his contract. He's not as talented, so there's less incentive to hold on to him. He's older, again, so less incentive to keep him. And he's more attractive to kind of the contenders. You know, he's a big body, long arms, good three-point shooter. So a team like Cleveland or a team like Houston would be attracted to picking up a guy like him. Whereas Bledsoe, I don't see any reason to move him unless you're getting a quality player in return and, you know, obviously a younger player. So I would definitely go with Dudley as being the player they're more likely to move.
What about you, Corey?
I mean, just to point out, like, Bledsoe's value. I mean, on all those, you know, when they were trying to trade for Kyrie Irving, I mean, Bledsoe was attached to all those deals. So it goes to show that he is one of their best players on this team, clearly, when he is healthy. I do agree that Dudley is probably the easier guy to move. You know, if you're trying to keep this core together, then there's not really an essence or a need to move Bledsoe. But you could definitely trade Bledsoe for a decent young guy and probably a decent round draft pick if you wanted to move Bledsoe. But I think Dudley is probably the more realistic trade guy.
Well, I think the one point you guys made that is a great point is, you know, Dudley's probably an easier fit in a lot of teams because he's just kind of like that role player that everybody needs, where Eric Bledsoe is a more talented guy and he's going to fill a bigger void and have a higher usage rate. And that's something that's going to impact, you know, it's going to be harder to find a perfect fit for him than it is for a Jared Dudley.
I'm just thinking right now off the top of my head, I can only think of like two or three teams that even need a point guard or could even acquire a point guard like Bledsoe.
Don't forget, to stay competitive in the Western Conference, you do need to have talent at that position. And I don't think Tyler Ulis is ready to be a, you know, a full-time starter and take on that role going up against the Russell Westbrooks or the Stephen Currys of the West. I think they need Bledsoe right now, at least to help develop Ulis a little bit. Keep in mind, Brandon Wright is, I think, out for the entire season. So, unless they're trading him, like, you know, for a Kyrie Irving, that made a lot of sense for them because they're bringing back an elite point guard. But unless they're doing a trade that makes sense in that sense, I don't see Bledsoe getting moved. I think at 27, the production that he can give you if he remains healthy, and I know that's a big if, but the production he gives you is, you know, kind of that second tier behind those elite point guards.
$14 million is not that bad of a deal. I mean, I know it's still relatively high, but in the new NBA, $14.5 million for Eric Bledsoe is a pretty good deal.
Yeah, there's plenty of backup players in the NBA making around $14 million, to be honest. So I think, you know, you made a great point, Jonathan, when you said, you know, it's good to have a point guard around like that in the Western Conference. I think something you don't want to see as a team and something that probably hurts developments of teams, when you get squashed every night and you don't have a point guard that can distribute the ball or just run things offensively and make life easier for your young guys, it's a little harder to develop. In some cases it works, but in other cases it kind of prolongs the process.
That's true. That's a good point. Sorry, Nick, let me cut you off. That's a good point. And I guess if you look at it from that sense, it can kind of hold back some of the younger players, some of the younger guards and their development. But I just think right now he has so much value that moving him just for the sake of moving him, I just can't wrap my head around it. I'm a big fan of Bledsoe, so maybe there's a little bit of bias there, but I just think that he's too talented to let walk for little return.
I think if someone steps up and makes it okay, you know, if one of the young guards shows that they can handle the ball and run the offensive show, then maybe you're more willing to do that. But like you said, it's tough to not have a point guard in the NBA. It's tough to watch and run a team. So, but moving on to the truth. The emoji today for the Suns is going to be partly cloudy with the sun in the background. You see the sun poking out, but the Suns aren't quite there, but the future is bright.
I'm rolling with yours, Nick, just to get that up there. I don't have any of that. That's probably the best emoji for this Phoenix Suns roster after last year.
Yeah, that's a pretty solid emoji. I got to say, if I were to replace it with a different one, I'd replace it with the okay hand. because I think everything's going to be okay for the Suns. I think everything's going in the right direction. But I like yours. I like yours.
And I think it kind of says a little bit too, is like, you know, you don't necessarily pay attention to the sun when there's partly cloudy out. Because like a lot of people around the league are kind of sleeping on the Suns, even though they do have a nice young core. You know, there's a potential for this team to be, you know, a good team in the future, but a lot of people sleep on them.
That's I have a friend who's a Suns fan, like, you know, I know who's a Suns fan. And like every year he tells me the same thing, like, keep your eye on the sun. And like, I might actually have to, you know, take his word this year.
Well, talking about keeping your eye on the sun, league pass ranking, 1 through 10, where do you rank the Suns in terms of league pass?
I'm giving them a 7 out of 10. That might seem kind of high for a team that's going to almost surely going to be in the lottery, but there's just so much exciting talent on this team. I think Josh Jackson has got a really high ceiling. I think Marquise Chris has a high ceiling. I think, again, Tyler Ulis has got a high ceiling. I think Eric Bledsoe, when he's healthy, he's one of the more fun guys to watch in the NBA. His nickname is Mini LeBron, for goodness sake. So, I mean, I think there's a lot of exciting talent. I think offensively, they're fun to watch. Like you said at the beginning of the podcast, Corey, they were a top 10 offense last year, and I don't see any reason for that for their offense to take a step back. So I think they're going to be a fun team to watch. They're going to lose a lot of games, but they're also going to win a couple of close ones against some of the better teams in the league that don't take them seriously. So I think 7 out of 10 is a pretty fair score.
I'm gonna give out my highest league pass rating, which isn't saying much, but I'm gonna give the Suns a 5 for me, because I do think, you know, the reasons you said, like, I know, right? 5. Devin Booker, I mean, those guys. I mean, when Eric Bledsoe was healthy, when he was with the Clippers, I kind of got on the Eric Bledsoe bandwagon a little bit. The guy can play when he's healthy. Obviously, Devin Booker can light it up. We know. I'm really interested to see what Josh Jackson looks like alongside of Bledsoe and Devin Booker. That's probably for me the biggest thing is I'm interested to see how all these young guys can coexist. So I'll definitely be tuning into the Suns a few times.
Yeah, for me, Jonathan, if you didn't know, I have a skewed scale this year. Number 10 is the Warriors, and there's no team at number 9 because they're on another level. So I'll put the Suns at a 5 out of 10 because you guys mentioned I like to see the young talent. I'll probably catch a few Suns games. They play at a pretty high pace. Devin Booker, Eric Bledsoe, always healthy. Marquise Chris can really dunk on people. And they have, like, Derrick Jones Jr., I think, off the bench, who he was in the dunk contest last year. He threw down some nasty stuff. You know, there's definitely some fun potential to watch, and it's more exciting to watch a team that doesn't really care and they're just going to go out and ball than kind of watching some of the teams that are the mediocre.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I have a question for you. Is it really possible that only the Warriors are a 10 out of 10 when there's a guy in Cleveland who, if I'm not mistaken, during the NBA Finals last season, threw an alley-oop to himself off the backboard? In the NBA Finals, that's not worthy of a 10 score.
Well, that's playoff time. We know LeBron play at that level during the regular season, and you know he takes some games off. So the Warriors are going to be at that 10, and I think they'll probably have a historical year. But playoff LeBron and Cavs in the playoffs are definitely a 10. I mean, I always want to watch LeBron when it's a big game, but we know that during the regular season he might take a few nights off or might get his teammates a little bit more involved.
Hey, man, you're hearing it for the first time from me right now on the Phoenix Suns preview podcast. LeBron James is going to win MVP this season.
Ooh.
We got our first big prediction.
Think about it. Harden picked up Chris Paul. Russell Westbrook picked up Paul George. And LeBron lost Kyrie. And if he gets back Isaiah Thomas, Isaiah's not going to be playing for the first half of the season. LeBron James is going to win MVP.
I mean, I think it's a real possibility, just from the point you made, is that so many of the MVPs are kind of out of the race because they are playing another star. And especially if IT's banged up for a majority part of the time. And LeBron could look at it as, you know, maybe this is one of the last times I'm going to be able to grab MVP. I'm getting up there in age. Let me go and get another one. I don't see why it's not realistic.
Hey, and unless Kevin Durant or Steph Curry breaks one of their legs halfway through the season, he's not winning a championship anyway. So why save yourself for something that you're not going to win?
True.
Those are pretty good points. I mean, he'll have to do more this year than he did last year, I mean, by far.
You would watch let's get back to the Suns. You would watch the Phoenix Suns over what TV show that you like?
Go first on this one, Corey.
For me, I'm picking the show Friends. I like the show Friends, but over the Phoenix Suns, I'd rather watch them run up and down the floor.
think I picked Futurama because I'm really into kind of the more mature cartoons. So I'm a big fan of the Simpsons, Family Guy, Futurama. But of the three, Futurama is definitely my least favorite. There's no way I'm turning off the Simpsons or Family Guy for the Phoenix Suns, but I'll watch them over Futurama. I'll give them that.
That's solid. That's solid. Friends is definitely a solid one too. We definitely have thrown shade at some big time shows. I'm going to go with like a lower level show. I'm a big into like documentaries and like National Geographic, but I'll watch the Phoenix Suns over Doomsday Preppers.
I've heard of it.
Doomsday Preppers.
Pretty much are these people that believe that the world's going to end, and either that they like have some type of, you know, fort they're trying to build that'll like survive nuclear warfare, or they're setting up their like house to be like a holdout base and they could kind of hold it down with like turrets and stuff like that. These people are kind of crazy, but I like to watch the Suns, but not a ton. So I had to pick a show that's not necessarily my favorite.
I haven't heard of that show before, but I'm definitely going to watch it after this podcast.
It's on Hulu. On Hulu. I mean, like, I usually watch it not because I'm really interested in what they're doing, but like some of the theories that these people think that the world's going to end, like all of them think that the government are going to take over and like try to kill us all. And it's just like, you know.
Hey, fair enough.
But that wraps it up for the Suns. Number 24, Jonathan, Corey, you guys are hopping on as always. Thanks everybody for listening.
It's a pleasure, guys. Take care.
Adios, everyone.